Welcome to Context, a podcast about the history behind current events in the Middle East. I'm Becky Nyman. The history will be provided through audio recordings of my late father, Dr. David Nyman. My father was an expert in the history of the ancient Near East and specialized in the Jewish background to the New Testament. This episode of Context is about the hottest spot on Earth, not as measured by a thermometer, but by the concentration of passions and energy that are directed towards a single geographical location. That place is the rock at the top of Mount Moriah, which is the center of the area known as the Temple Mount, where the first and second Jewish temples were located. The gold dome building known as the Dome of the Rock is an Islamic shrine within the Temple Mount complex. Inside the building is an unadorned rock called the Foundation Stone. It is the peak of Mount Moriah. There is a hole in the rock that leads to an underground cavern called the Well of Souls. Around the rock, an ornately decorated building has been constructed. Jews believe that rock is the place where Abraham took Isaac for sacrifice. Muslims believe that it was Ishmael who was chosen by Abraham for that task. Jews believe it's the site of the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary of the Jewish temple. Muslims believe that Muhammad ascended to heaven from that same spot. King David purchased the site from Arauna, the former Jebusite king, for 600 shekels after he conquered the city. Before Islam and before Judaism, it was an altar to the Canaanite god El Elyon. Christians have their own history of attempting to control this highly charged geographical location. The following audio segment is an excerpt from a classroom lecture given by my father that I recorded in January of the year 2000. The course was titled The Church and the Jews.
The rise of Christianity, and Christianity begins to increase in numbers. At a certain point, the Christians really say, we are not Jewish anymore. And they say this for several reasons. The Christians who lived with Jesus and at his time and his four brothers and the other members of his family, all of these people believed that Jesus, although he was killed, would come back to life to establish the kingdom of heaven and earth. These were the original Christians. But they were very religious Orthodox Jews, very religious. This was an extreme group of Jewish sectarians who were very religious and Orthodox, and very Jewish. That's why when St. Paul appeared on the scene, they had this discussion, this argument, the debate, and they finally said, okay, go ahead, do what you want to in the Gentile world. Just don't preach here in the Holy Land, in the land of Israel. So essentially, that was the split, where St. Paul started his mission in Greece and in Rome and preached and converted the Greeks and the Romans. And others went out to other places. But in the land of Israel, this small group of original Christians, I think the book of Acts says 120 altogether, this group remained loyal to their Judaism. And they were killed in the destruction of Jerusalem in the year 70. That was the end of the Jewish Christian group. After that, the Christians are not Jews. They are members of other nations. And therefore, they have the characteristics of Greeks or Romans or Egyptians or Syrians or Phoenicians. They're not Jews. And so they look upon the Jews in a different way, and they look upon Judaism in an entirely different way. And they essentially affirm their Christianity as distinct from Judaism. Originating from it, yes. But we have nothing to do with the Jews. And the Jews are also a nationality, a nation, whereas we are universal. Christianity is universal. We're not interested in nationality. And the fact is, Christianity became the faith of many nations, and it became a universal faith. And while Judaism has many universal elements in it, Judaism remained the religious conviction of the Jewish people, or the Jewish nation. Now, when it came to the problem of when are we going to rebuild the temple, and that was a real serious problem to the Jews. After all, the temple had been destroyed in 586 BC. In 539 BC, the emperor said, you may rebuild it. Well, the temple was destroyed in the year 70. Let's ask the emperor to help us, at least to declare we should rebuild our temple. Time has passed. The pagan emperors would have said, and this, of course, you are a religion. Judaism is recognized religion. Build your temple. The only problem is that Christianity was already militant, existing. And as the Jews said, we want the temple to be rebuilt, the Christians said, don't rebuild the temple. Don't let them rebuild the temple. Because the destruction of the temple was a very significant symbol to Christianity. You know what's interesting, that Christians approach me and they say, do you think the Jews are going to rebuild the temple? I say, I hope not. I don't think so, but I hope not. But why do they ask that question? Because in the Christian mentality, over the ages, over the centuries, the destruction of the temple meant the end of effective Judaism. And the symbolic end of Judaism were the burned stones and the timbers on the Temple Mount. You see, Christian theology as it developed not only with its concept of what Christianity means, but also with its relationship to Judaism. That was very important. And that relationship is a constant in Christian history up to the present day. Namely, what is the relationship between the Christians and the Jews when in this history of Christianity, from the time that Christianity became self-defining as a religious faith separate from Judaism, since that time until 1948, there was never a Jewish state in the land of Israel. So in Christian concept and Christian mentality, there is no Jewish state, and church fathers said there will not be, or there cannot be. Well, that creates a certain state of mind and affects Christians in a different way, obviously. And today, the effect of the existence of a Jewish state in the land of Israel has a different impact on Catholics, on what we call Protestants of the main line, and on fundamentalists. They all have a different view as to the significance of this. The church, because of its tradition and its long history of dealing with the world in all of its ramifications, the church reached the conclusion that the state of Israel exists, so we can't deny it, so we'll recognize it in the course of time. It took time, but then the church doesn't move in fits and starts. The church moves gradually, you know. So in the course of time, the church said, sure, the state of Israel exists. We're not going to say it doesn't. Whereas many of the mainline Protestant churches and the Eastern Orthodox churches say the state of Israel must not exist, and we'll do everything we can to destroy it, as some of them feel. Fundamentalists are different. They say the state of Israel, wonderful. It's the beginning. The Jews will go back. They'll rebuild the state of Israel. All the Jews will be gathered again to the state of Israel. And then Jesus Christ will come back. I look forward to the coming of Jesus if he comes for a second time. Because, as I tell my Protestant friends, when Jesus comes, I will confront him. We'll carry on a conversation in Hebrew and Jewish Aramaic, and you guys won't understand a word we're saying. But Jews, you know, when people say Jews are funny and peculiar people, that is absolutely true. Many of our people are strange when they say, oh, I can't stand this Jerry Falwell and this Billy Graham and all those. They want us to become Christians. What they want is one thing. What we want is another thing. And when the Southern Baptist said, we have a goal now to convert the Jews to Christianity, and all the leadership of the Jewish community rose up and said, how dare you say that? Well, why shouldn't they say that? This is their faith. A Christian believes it's his duty to convert everyone to the faith in Christ. And it's especially his duty to convert Jews, because St. Paul said, you know, in the fullness of time, the Jews will come to the point where they will recognize the truth. So they want us to become Christian. Let them want. We shouldn't really get excited about that. The only thing I would say is they may have a certain minimal success with Jews who have never had any Jewish education or background or inspiration. But if Jews teach their children faith in Judaism, and it becomes a part of them, then let the Baptists do whatever they want. There were times when not only did they want to convert us, but, you know, they did it with the threat of either or. And there were Jews in the Rhineland by the thousands in the First Crusade who said, well, I'm not going to accept Christ, and if you cut my throat, that's your business, you know. So, you know, we have many different manifestations of this conflict. It's a one part of, these are parts of the whole. We'll carry on next time.
That was Dr. David Nyman on the symbolism of the Temple Mount and its historical significance. The audio segment you just heard also exists as a video. It's called The Early Christians, and you can find it on the Dr. David Nyman YouTube channel. Thank you for listening to Context, the podcast. You can follow the Context blog on the Times of Israel website. And please visit drdavidnyman.com for more audio, video, and other fascinating information.